Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Mem Ches. We will begin on Daf Mem Zayin on the base, 6 lines from the bottom of Boil Hu. In our previous shiur, we had the Mishnah and Gemara had discussed quite extensively what is the halacha if someone brings an animal into somebody else's rishus. And we discussed what is the halacha if he had permission to bring it in, versus if he did not have permission to bring it in. The Gemara also discussed what will be the halacha, the shir is memches, what will be the halacha if the person who brought it in had permission, what is the level of responsibility if I gave somebody permission to bring something into my property, what is my level of responsibility? And the Gemara had taught us that there's a machloikus, Mishnah taught us, the machloikus Rebbe and the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, as soon as I give permission, what that permission implies that you have full-fledged permission to bring it in and I will take responsibility. According to Rebbe, that obligation doesn't happen automatically. But even Rebbe certainly agrees that if I accepted permission to bring your object into my rishus, and I said that I will watch it, then I took upon myself the responsibility, and certainly I will be responsible. So now I ask the Gemara, "Bele hech the kibbul of the terosa?" In a case where I have the responsibility for anything that's brought into my property, what level of responsibility do I have? The terosa did not ma'ab the nafshehu the kibbul alei, only responsibility for what I took, for things that I own, my animals, my property, may not do damage to anything that you bring in. I have full-fledged responsibility, kabbalah light. So Rashi explains that, as we learned, that the Gemara's question is both according to Rabbanan and Rebbe. The only nafkamina is that according to Rabbanan, the responsibility, as we said, happens automatically. And according to Rebbe, you have to expressly take on that responsibility. But according to Rebbe, if you took on the responsibility, you certainly will be responsible. The Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says that according to Rebbe, Rebbe says you have to take the responsibility. Rebbe will certainly say that even when you took that responsibility, the responsibility is a limited responsibility. And the Gemara's question is only according to the Rabbanan. So ask the Gemara, what is the halacha? Toshma, the Tanner of Yehuda Basimon, Benazik and the Bei Karna, when they learned Nezik and the Yeshiva of Karna, Hichtas Peresul Chatzah Balbai Shloi Bershus, if somebody brought fruit into the property of someone else without permission, or Boshama Makamacher, and an animal comes from elsewhere, Potter Vachlan, and eats him up, Potter, he will be not responsible. The Mechnas Rishus, Pot Chayiv. So ask the Gemara, what does the Brisa mean when it says Potter Chayiv? Man Potter, man Chayiv. Who's Potter, who's Chayiv? La Potter, Baal Chotzer. Isn't Potter mean the Baal Chotzer if he didn't take on responsibility? So therefore, he's not responsible. B'chai Baal Chotzer is when he takes on responsibility. So we see that when the owner of the property has the responsibility, what that responsibility carries with it, that he's chayiv for anything that happens, even something from not his own rishus. Amri, says the Gemara, that's not necessarily the way to understand. Rather, says the Gemara, loy, Potter means the Baal Shor, that the owner of this animal, that the owner of the animal, Chayiv, refers to the Baal Shor. Ask the Gemara, I Baal Shor, if the focus here is on the owner of the animal, so then why is the factor if the person who brought his fruit into this property, if he had permission or not, why is that a consideration? My Bershus, says the Gemara Amri, says Bershus means Havlei Shem Bershus HaNizik. As we've learned many times, that the Mishnah first Mishnah of Amsechta spoke about different mazikim. And the Mishnah said that it's Shein. And when we learned at the beginning of the Masechta the differences between Shein and Regel, we learned that Shein is only Brishus HaNizik, not Brishus HaRabin. And therefore explains the Gemara the Brice as follows. If the person had permission to bring the fruit into that Rishus, Havle Shein Brishus HaNizik. So that means the person, since he brought the fruit in there with permission, it's as if he brought it into the Rishus HaNizik. And we know that Shein Rishus HaNizik Chayavis. That's when you pay Nezik Shalim. However, if it was brought to Shalai Rishus, so it's similar to being brought to the Rishus HaRabim. And we know that Shein Rishus HaRabim Potter, because the Torah Kedosha says, Beer Bestei Acher. Because, as Rabbi Chanan explains, the reason why Shein V'Regel, a chayv in a potter in Shus HaRabim, a chayv in Shus HaNizik, is because it was the animals walk in the Shus HaRabim. And therefore, if they do damage as they walk and eat normally, they're not chayv, because that's what was meant to be. And since when it's meant to be, you can't make the person, the owner of that animal, responsible for damage that the animal did. However, in a case where it's Brishus HaNizik, so he has no right to be there. If he has no right to be there, then he shall be held responsible. And that's exactly how to understand this Gemara. Did the person have the right to have his animal there or not? That will make it determined factor if he's chayv for shein or not. Toshma. So the Gemara attempts with a different raya. The Braisa says, if somebody brings his animal to somebody else's property without permission, or and an animal from elsewhere comes and injures that animal, potter. Then he's potter. Vim hichnis brishus, but if I had a right to bring my animal there, and somebody else's animal came and did damage, chayiv. And again, ask the Gemara, what is meant, who is meant, man potter, man chayiv, who is meant? La potter, bala chotzer, that in the case where the owner of the property did not give permission, he'll be potter, and chayiv means the bala chotzer will be chayiv if he gave permission. What do we see from here? That if I gave permission, and included in that permission is that you're allowed to bring, I take responsibility for anything that will happen here. That means I'm responsible for anything that happens, even from an animal that came from elsewhere. Says the Gemara Loi. Again, it means pot balashar, v'chai balashar. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, yachem mai b'rishus or mai shalai b'rishus ikka, why does it make a difference if it is he had permission or didn't have permission? And over here, we won't be able to give the teretz that we gave a minute ago, because in the previous Gemara, we were talking about Shein. And Shein, where ate the fruit. And by Shein, as we've been learning throughout a Masechta, there's a nafkamina b'rishus HaNizik or b'rishus HaRabim. But here we're talking about v'nachoy. Here we're talking about the Karen. And Karen, there is no difference between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaNizik. So that teretz that the Gemara gave before won't work over here. Answers the Gemara, Amri, Hamani, who is the Tan of this Braisa? Rav Tarfon. He represents the opinion of Tarfon, the Amma. The Rav Tarfon taught us on Daf Chof Dalid that Mishuna Karen, that Karen is always called Mishuna, because as we explained many times, it's unusual for an animal to do Karen. And not only does Karen pay, but Karen pays in the Chatzar HaNizik, Nezik Shalom Mishalim. So therefore, explains the Gemara, Brishus, when there was permission, it was Karen Chatzar HaNizik, then it's considered Karen Chatzar HaNizik. And Rav Tarfon has told us that not only do you pay for Karen Chatzar HaNizik, but you pay Nezik Shalom. Have a like Karen Brishus, and that's why you pay Karen Shalom. But it was Shalai Brishus, so it's similar to Karen Bershus Arabim. Havle Karen Bershus Arabim, and everybody agrees that Karen Bershus Arabim, if it's a tam, ain't a mishalim el chatzin nezek. Says the Gemara, who itus ad also lemeifa by who beisa. There was a woman that went in to bake dough in somebody else's property that somebody had an oven, and he would allow people to bake in his oven. Also barcha de mari beisa, the goat of the owner of that property, ochla lisha, and ate the dough. And not only that, but chavol umis, and the animal, having overeaten too much dough, died. Chai v'rava l'shlume, Rava told the woman who baked the dough to pay the maid the barcha, the value of the animal. The balabayis is certainly not responsible, explained the Rishonim, to pay for the value of the dough that was eaten up, because the woman should have watched that nothing should happen to her dough. What the issue here is she responsible for what happened to the animal, says the Gemara. But isn't this different than what we learned in our previous year? Lema pliga de Rav. Didn't Rav introduce in our previous year a concept? Dama Rav, havelosh lo toichel. Rav introduced this concept that when an animal eats what it wasn't supposed to eat, the mazik could always claim havelosh lo toichel. The animal shouldn't have eaten it. Amri, says the Gemara, hachi hashta. And the case that Rav spoke about is very different than the case that we're speaking about here. Hossam, in that case, shloi brishus. That case, somebody brought his peiris without permission. And lekabala tinrasai, and therefore, he didn't take on the responsibility to make sure that because of him, the animals of this property will not get harmed. Hochop, but in this case, the woman brought the dough with rishus. And what included in that rishus is that kibbalah and the terasa, that she took upon herself to make sure that the animals of this person who owns this property will not get hurt because of her dough. But ask the Gemara, we also spoke about a case about a woman who came to grind wheat in somebody's property. This person rents out his grinder, and if she came shloi brishus, and the animal ate them, potter, because the balabais is not responsible if his animals ate up the wheat, because he could say, I never gave you permission to be here. The mhusku, and if the animal dies, chayevis. What do we see? Tama, the reason why the woman is responsible, shloi brishus, because she came here without permission, habrishus, but if she would have permission, ptura, she would be potter for paying for the damage, for the injury of this animal, because the owner of the property took upon himself that nothing should happen to his animal, nothing should happen to this woman's wheat. And here too, if the woman came in with permission, the owner took upon himself that his animal won't eat the dough. And why would therefore Rava say that the woman has to pay for the dough? Answers the Gemara, Amri. Litchen chitin, when it comes to grind, kiven de leibayitz nusamidi, when somebody grinds, there's no issue of tznius, as we'll see in a second. And therefore, leibay mesalki maravs de chotzen of shayu. The owner of his property should remain there if he knows that he has people that he's renting his property out to, who's given them permission to come in here. And therefore, he should have watched his animal not to eat the grain. Avala mifta. But when it comes to baking, kivin de bayit sinusa, the women's sleeves of their clothing come up when they knead the dough, and therefore men aren't going to remain there. Marvosa de chatzim salkin avshayu, they walk out, and since under those circumstances the men walk out, so she knows that she's going to be there by herself. And because she knows that she's going to be there by herself, what that means is she's taking upon herself responsibility that nothing should happen to the animal of that oven, of that chatzar. Hilchah Allah didai Ramya Tirosai. She took upon herself that level of responsibility. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim that certainly according to Rabbanon, who keep on learning in our Shir, that responsibility is implicit. So here, that's what the Gemara means to say. The woman implicitly took upon herself this responsibility. But the question is, what will Rebbe say? Because Rebbe says, we've been learning, that responsibility is not implicit. Responsibility has to be, if you want to make somebody responsible, the person had to have to take on responsibility. But if they obviously did take on the responsibility, then the halacha will be that you're responsible. So now the question is, in our Gemara, is this considered as if it was an express responsibility? If it's considered as if there was express responsibility, even Rebbe would agree that she'll be responsible for the animals eating dough. But if we don't view it as an express responsibility, then the halacha is that she will not be responsible, because responsibility, according to Rebbe, has to be explicit. The Sma, teaching about this Gemara, says the woman who comes to bake, our Gemara said, she understands that because her sleeves go up, that she's going to be responsible. Says the Mashal, that this halacha only applies if people are scrupulous in keeping the Hilchot Tzinius. The Mashal already said that in his time, the people in Germany and Poland were unfortunately neglectful of these halachas. And therefore, he says, a woman who bakes in such a location doesn't assume that the owner is going to leave because he doesn't want to see her with her sleeves rolled up. But says the Mashal, that even in places where the general population are not careful, but let's say there are people who are careful, and the person who owns this property says, well, I'm that type of person. He's going to have to make a shvua that he left the house because of tznius, because he didn't want to see the women baking. And if he makes that shvua, then the woman would be held responsible. The Avnei Choshen disagrees with the Mashal. He says, even if the man is ready to say and make a shvua to it, that I am always careful and never will stay in a place where a woman is baking because of tznius reasons, he points out there's no way that this woman should know that this man is different than all other men of that time, and that this man is careful even though all the other men are not careful. And unless he expressly says to her that I'm a person that's not going to remain here as long as you're baking this way, unless he says it expressly to her, then the halacha is that she could say, I had no way of knowing this. There's an interesting question. Somebody went, that the Sefer Mishpatei Torah discusses. Somebody went to visit a zoo, and there is a sign in the zoo that under no circumstances may you feed the animals. And somebody took food, even though there was such a sign, and threw it at the animal. And the animal choked on the food and died. And the question is the person who threw the food obligated to pay for the damage? So that's really that our Gemara. And the question is this considered that the animal brought it upon herself? But so if there was no sign, so our Gemara, Rav has been teaching us in our Gemara, that there's a concept, Havelei Shloi Teichel, that the animal should not have eaten. But that's only in a case where there is no sign. So there I can make a claim, Havelash Leitoichel. But if there's a sign that's put up, don't feed the animals, the sign that's put up that says, don't feed the animal, means that you, the person who are entering the zoo, and this is both according to Rebbe and according to Rabbanan, when you take upon yourself a certain level of responsibility, we're learning that everybody agrees you have to accept that. And here, you took upon yourself that responsibility when you walked into the zoo and saw that sign, and therefore you shall be held responsible. Another issue, Al Gemara said, and we just discussed the Marshal and Davni Choshen, that a person is expected to keep the halacha, and therefore a person could say, the reason I wasn't there was because I knew that it would be a tznius issue for me to be there when you are baking. So the question that the Chashukei Chemed discusses, there was somebody left something in somebody else's field, and a fire broke out on Shabbos. And what happened was that the owner of the field, unfortunately, is not a Shomer Shabbos, and he went and extinguished the fire to save his own possessions. But he didn't extinguish the fire to save the possessions of the other person who had left things in his field. That means Reuven had in his field his own objects, and Reuven had, obviously with permission, other people's objects in his field. And when the fire broke out, he saved his own objects, but he didn't save the other person's objects. So the person said, so he says to him, why don't you save my objects? And again, we'll speak about a case that the person took on responsibility. So he says that, well, I only took on, I'm not obligated, as we just learned in our Gemara, that to be Michal Shabbos. That, so you'll say, yes, if you're a Shomer Shabbos, then we understood that you are not obligated to do something which represents a Chilul Shabbos. But in the case that we are now discussing, you were a Michal Shabbos. You were a Michal Shabbos, and therefore you should have taken, so if you're Michal Shabbos for your own objects, you should also be a Michal Shabbos for my objects, and therefore you should pay. So the Chashukei Chemed says that the halacha is that he's potter, even though this person makes a very valid claim. You obviously can't claim that Shabbos is a consideration for you. You were Michal Shabbos when it came to your own objects. Why? So the Chashukei Chemed explains that the way to understand this Gemara means what type of responsibility have I accepted or not accepted upon myself. And he says what the Gemara is teaching us here is that that there are laws to responsibilities that Shomrim have. And the laws of responsibility that a Shomer has, explains the Chashukei Chemed, means that I'm taking responsibility, but not at the cost of doing an Aveira, not at the cost of Chil Shabbos, not at the cost of a lack of tznius. And therefore, he says that the person, even though unfortunately he is not a Shomer Shabbos, but the Shmira, the obligation of Shmira, teaches us that there are conditions set to that Shmira, and one of the conditions were that I will not be obligated in a case where Chil Shabbos is involved. But it's also important to point out that the Paiskim say, based on this Gemara, this is a question in Hilchas Shomrim. The question in Hilchas Shomrim that needs to be discussed, when a Shomer, as we're learning now, takes on responsibility, what does that mean? Does responsibility mean that I'm responsible? So it's a kinyan. It's a level of obligation. And maybe I'm not obligated unless I make a kinyan. Or is responsibility there even if a kinyan was not made? And many poskim can say, Al Gemara says that certainly according to Rabbanon, there's an implicit responsibility. Even according to Rebbe, there's explicit responsibility. But nowhere in the Gemara does it seem to say that that responsibility has to come with a kinyan, that the shomer is not responsible until he makes a kinyan. So it seems, say the various poskim, that a shomer, once somebody becomes a shomer, whatever type of shomer he is, we know that there are many different types of shomerim, as we learned and going to learn, whatever type of shomer you are, your responsibility only begins as soon as you accept upon yourself to be a shomer. And it's not necessary that you should have to make a kinyan to be considered a shomer. Just taking the responsibility upon yourself is enough that the halacha should consider you a shomer with all the various halachas that hilchus shomerim, the various halachas that hilchus shomerim bring. Says the Gemara. Hechna sharil chatzab al bais. The Mishnah taught us that somebody brought his animal into somebody else's property, and the halacha is that if the animal of the owner of the balabai of the property did damage to your animal, he will be potter. Otherwise, you will be chayiv. Amar Rava. So Rava says, "Hichna sharil chatzab al bais lebrishos." If somebody brought his animal into the balabai's property without permission, and then that animal dug up pits or whatever in the property, then the owner of that animal has to pay for any damage. So that means the person whose animal dug these pits is going to be responsible for digging the pits because you had no right to dig a pit in my property. But now there is a pit in my property, and the person who owns that property, Ubal Chotzer Chayiv Beniske Habor, the owner of that property will be the owner of a bor, and all the halachas of a bor will apply to him. Vav Gavda Amar says the Gemara, even though we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem and Afnun Aleph, that the Torah which speaks about the dinner bar says kiyecha ish bar v'lech hasen of enough l'sham is shorah chamor balabar yishalem kesev yashal abalim. So the pasuk is teaching us that only when a person dug a bar v'loy shor bar, the halachas do not apply when an animal digs a bar. Hacha kiven this l'haich l'mluye, since the owner of this property, when he recognized that there was a bar in his property, should have filled it up v'loy kamalye, and he didn't do so, command the Kari Adami, the halacha views him as if he made the bar. Vamarova. Hechna sharei l'chatzab al-bayis shalei brishos. Somebody brought his animal into somebody else's property without permission. Vizikas balabayis, and then that shor did damage to the, injured the balabayis. Oish balabayis huzakba, that means he didn't actively do damage to him, but he, let's say, tripped on him. Ravatz, then the person who brought the animal in is chayiv. Rovitz, but if the animal just deposited himself, sat himself down in the chotzer, then potter, the Baal Shor, will not be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, why should that make a difference? Umshum the Rovitz, just because he sat himself down and that's how he caused damage, potter, will he be exempt? Answers the Gemara, Amar Papa, what does Rovitz mean? What Rovitz means is, Sheherbitz Galolim, it expressed waste, and then ulnitfu kelo shebalabayis, and therefore afterwards the balabayis's clothing got dirty from that waste. Why the havel galolim bor? Because the waste that's left in this property is a bor, and as we learned many times, v'lemetzina bor shechay basakelim, that even though the Torah does call bor a mazik, but there is also a din, bar v'loy kalim. But Rashi points out that this halacha only applies if the animal expressed waste, and then the owner's clothing got dirty in that waste, so that's the din of bar v'loy kalim. But let's say as he was expressing the waste, then the halacha is that the person, that so that's not called bar. That's called Shar HaMazik. And as we learned, and we'll continue learning in Mitzvah Shem, for Shar HaMazik, there's no difference between Kalim or a person, you will be held responsible. Moreover, the Gemara is speaking, explained the Rishonim, where this animal expressed this waste, and the person got dirty with the waste. And since the person's clothing got dirty with the waste, so we have the halacha of v'loy kalim. But let's say the person himself got hurt from the waste. So there is no din of bar v'loy adam. And if the person got hurt from that waste, then the animal, the owner of the animal who expressed that waste, will be chayiv. Amri, so says the Gemara, Hanicha, this explanation is understandable according to what we learned Shmuel's opinion on Daf Chav Chesam Abeis. Dama kolta kolabaru, anything that's an obstacle that's left in somebody's property falls in the category of bar. But ask the Gemara, Ella Rav the Omer, according to Rav, that the opinion is, Ad Mafgalei, that until the person who made the bar is Mafgar, this, it doesn't become a bar. So why are we calling this Ma'ikal Meme? Why are we calling these Galolim bar? Answers the Gemara, Amri, Stam Galolim, Afgari Mafgalu. The assumption is that if somebody's animal expresses waste, he's right away mafgarit, and therefore, since he's right away mafgarit, if even Rav will agree, it falls into the category of bar. V'yamarava, nichtas chatzah balabayis shalom, b'shul, somebody went into somebody else's property without permission, v'hizikas balabayis, and he did damage to the, he injured the balabayis, or balabayis huzuk ba, he sat there, and somebody else tripped on him, chayiv. Then he's chayiv to pay damages. However, his zika balabayis, if the owner of this property was mazakim, he's potter, because he had no right to be there. And the way that we show him explained this, even though we've learned that adam mu'ud la'olam, a person is always responsible for his actions, here he will not be responsible. Because as Tosfos has taught us many times, in a situation of oinus gomer, we don't make the person responsible. And this is considered a situation of oinus gomer. Why would I expect that somebody else is here on my property without permission? Says the Gemara, and therefore, says the Gemara, Amra Papa, lo yamar in this halacha, that if the Baal Bayis was mazik somebody in his rishus, even when he shdish le rishus, adala yadabay, that he wasn't aware that he's there. Aval have a yadabay, if he was aware that this person is there, hezika Baal Bayis chayiv, if the person was mazikim, he shall be chayiv. My tama, mishum da amalei, the person who got injured could say, nay, this lecha rishus lafuki, you do have permission to expel me from here. However, Lazuki, a person never has a right to injure somebody else. Lazuki, leslecha rishusi. You don't have a right to injure me. And therefore, however, the Paiskim say that this halacha, that one cannot use physical force to remove somebody from his property, and if he does, and then that person gets injured, it's his responsibility. Say the Paiskim is only when he was warned. He wasn't warned. So you can't just take and use physical force to expel him. But if you told him, leave my property, and if you don't leave my property, I will be compelled to use physical force to expel you, and he ignored your warning, and then because you had no choice, you used physical force to expel him, you will not be held responsible. Says the Gemara, this machlokes that we just learned between Rava Rapapa, if you're going to be held responsible or not, says the Gemara, is a machlokes we saw elsewhere. Dama Rava Vitem Rapapa. Shnei Brishus, if two people were walking in a place that they both have permission to walk, the Rishus Rabin. They were both walking in a place or walking in a way that they may not walk. For example, they were both running a shus rabim. And Hiziku, they damaged each other, chayovim. They're going to be responsible. Even if it was done, shloi b'kavona. The reason that you have to pay is because adam mu'ud loylam. And you should have been careful not to damage someone else. Husku zabaza, but if one tripped over the other, turim, then they won't have to pay. Because in that case, we learned, niskel peshehu, the person who tripped, should have been watching where he was walking. So explains the Gemara. Tama, the reason that they're both treated equally is kushneim b'shus, or shneim shloi b'shus. But what would be the halacha, comments the Gemara? Avlecha b'shus v'echad shloi b'shus. If one was there, allowed to be there, one was not allowed to be there. The one that's allowed to be there is potter, because of shloi b'shus, and the one that didn't have permission to be there is chayiv. And that's what Rav and Rapapa have been talking. If I walk into somebody's property without rishus, I have responsibility for damage I do, but the person who did damage to me, if it's his property, is not going to be held responsible. But then we have the question, if he was aware of my being there, what would be the halacha? We learned in the Mishnah, if the animal fell into my pit, vivish meimav, and made the water dirty, says the Gemara, then the owner of the animal will be chayiv. Says the Ma'amar Rav, Allah shalom l'shevish b'shas nefila, that the animal, for example, was dirty, and the moment the animal, which was dirty, fell into the property, he fell into this pit of water, he made it dirty. So that's called shor hamazik. Aval ach nefila, but if the water only got dirty because the animal was staying in that bar, potter. My tama, because in that case, the shor is considered a bor, the mayim are considered like kalim, and as we've been learning in our shurim, v'loy metzinu, the halach is that bor should be chayiv as a kalim, that the bor should be chayiv on the kalim. So, explains Rashi, if it got dirty as the animal fell into the bor, so that's considered mamon hamazik, and since it's considered mamon hamazik, the owner of the animal will be responsible. However, there is a machloikus apaiskim, what category of mamon hamazik is that going to be considered? The Sma's opinion is that it's considered like keren. And since it's like keren, the halacha of tam and mu'ud will apply. Whereas the opinion of the Taz is that it's considered like shena regel, and there's no difference between tam and mu'ud, and you have to pay nezek sholem. So ask the Gemara, Hanich l'shmudam kol takala barhu, that whoever anybody falls into any obstacles called the bar. So we understand that the animal that's laying in the pit, in my pit, is considered a bar. Ela rav dama adam afkalei, that it's not considered bar unless you mafkar it. So why is this considered bar? Ma'ikal meimer, says the Gemara, aliyitma hachiyitma. Amar rav loy shana el shevish migufay. When are you going to be responsible for making the water in the pit dirty? Is if there was dirt on the body of the animal, and the dirt on the body of the animal made the water dirty. Aval mirechai, but if the animal died, and therefore it started giving off a bad smell, and that's what ruined the water, potter. My tama, because that isn't considered an act of direct damage, and it's considered a groma ba'alma. A groma ba'alma, when something is considered a groma ba'alma, that because it came by itself, it wasn't that something actually was an act that caused this, the halacha is that you're not chai b'dini adam for groma. The Paiskin, the Rishonim, the Ramban, asks, why doesn't the Gemara give a different reason? Why does the Gemara say that this is considered a situation of Hezek Shena Nikar? So the Ramban says, when something gets a bad smell, that isn't considered a Hezek Shena Nikar. We learned in the Mishnah, Haya of a Benoi L'Taychai, if the father or the son were in this bar where the shor fell, the owner of the shor would be Chayef Kaifer. Famai, ask the Gemara, we've been speaking about an animal that's a tam, and a tam is not Chayef for Kaifer. answers the Gemara Amar Rabbah Muad Lipel Apnei Adam Baris Oskinim, that the animal is a muad because this keeps on happening. So ask the Gemara Yehachi, if that's the case, why? How did it ever happen to become a muad? If this is what the animal does, so then the animal that deliberately kills somebody, Bak Talahu, must be killed. Answers the Gemara, it's not that the animal had intention to kill. The animal Chazak Yorik V'Nofal, it saw grass by the pit, and he wanted to eat the grass. And once it was eating the grass, it fell on the person in the bar. And therefore that animal is not obligated to be killed, because it didn't intentionally kill. However, our Mishnah says that if this happened three times, so it's not going to be chayiv to be killed, because again, it did not intentionally kill the person. But it is a muad that it keeps on doing this thing. And since it's a muad to keep on doing this, then that's why for paying kaifer, it will have to pay, as far as that is concerned, it will have to pay kaifer. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel has a different way of answering the original question, why is kaifer paid if the animal's a tam? Says Shmuel, Hamani, who's the tan of Amishta? It represents the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili that we've learned earlier that Rabbi Yosef Glili teaches us, Dama tam, Mishalem chatzi kaifer, the tam does pay chatzi kaifer. Ulama, Ula says, Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili that a tam pays chatzi kaifer, but so over here, in this case, even though a tam, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, pays chatzi kaifer, here it'll pay kaifer sholem. Domer krev tarfen domer, kerem b'chatzar nizik, we've quoted earlier in our shir. The Rav Tarfen taught us early in the Masechta on Daf Chof Dalid, that even though Keren and Rosh Hashanah pays chatzi nezek, Rav Tarfen's opinion was that Keren b'rishus ha-nizik pays nezek sholim. The Keren chatzi nezek, nezek sholim mishalim. And Hochinami, even though this animal is a tam, but since this happened in the Rosh Hashanah nezek, that's why kaifa sholim mishalim. Says the Rabbi Shlomo Ula, according to Ula, that he pays kaifa sholim, hani diktani. That's why our Mishnah teaches us that they had permission to be there. And since they had permission to be there, that's why it's considered Karen b'chatzar nizik, that now we combine the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili that a tam pays kaifer, and the opinion of Rabbi Tarfin b'chatzar nizik, you pay nizik sholem, that's why kaifer sholem is paid. El Shmuel, that the reason you're paying is because a tam always pays chatzi kaifer. So ask the Gemara, so my area, why was it necessary that the Mishnah should say that the case was of Benoi, that halacha should be even filo acher, even if somebody else was there, that halacha is that a tam always pays chatzi kaifer? Answers the Gemara, correct. The reason the Mishnah spoke about this case is because Urch de Melsiktani, usually, who's going to be in a bar in the Chatzar Nizik? Who's going to normally be in such a bar? The father, the son of the owner of that property. But indeed, then it wouldn't make a difference. V'hechnes Rishos, but the Mishnah said that if he had permission to bring whatever he brought in, Mishnah gave various examples, that in all those cases, the Baal Chatzar Chayiv. And we had a machlokes in the Mishnah, as we keep on quoting, a machloikis, Rebbe and the Rabbanon. When somebody gives permission for something to be brought into his property, what does that permission represent? Does it mean that he's taking on full responsibility? Or does it mean that he's not taking on full responsibility? Itmar, so Rav Amar, Rav says, Hilchasuk the Tanakama. The halacha is like the Tanakama, and that permission to bring something in means that I take upon myself all obligations. Says the Gemara, V'shmul HaMelchuska Rebbe, Tana Abonin. Says the Gemara, the Brisa teaches us, K'nois Shvarcha. If somebody says to somebody else, you could bring your animal into my property, V'shamra, but you have to watch it, Hizik, if the animal that was brought in did damage to the owner of the property, the person who owns that animal is Chayiv. Huzak, but if the person who owns the property got damaged from that animal, huzak, if the animal got damaged, injured from the animal of the owner of the property, potter, the owner of the property will be potter. But if he said, k'noi shorcha, you could bring your animal in here, v'ani yashmerenu, and I'll watch it, huzak chayif, if the animal got injured, I, the owner of the property, will be chayiv. Hizik, if it does damage, I'll be potter. But ask the Gemara HaGuf HaKasha. Let's understand the statements we just learned. Amrit, the Braisa began. If I say, Kenar Sharcha V'Shamroi, to bring in your animal and you watch it, that's when Chizik chayiv and Huzik potter. Why? Tamad Amr LeShamroi. Because he explicitly said to the person who's bringing it in, you have still the responsibility to watch it. That's when Chai Baal Shor or Potter Baal Chotzer. Because he expressly left the obligation on the owner of the person who brought in his animal. What is implicit here? Hastama, if nothing would have said, the halacha would be Chai Baal Chotzer, Potter Baal Shor, which is like the opinion of the Rabbanan, that when I allow you to bring something into my property, the Mestama Mekabal and Teresoi, I took upon myself all the responsibility. But as the Gemara, let's continue learning the Braisa. Ema Seifa, where I said, K'noi Shorch V'Aniyash Merana, that's when Huzuk Chayiv Hizuk Potter. Why? Tamad Amalei V'Aniyash Merana. Because I expressly took upon the responsibility, I, the owner of the property. That's when Humechai Baal Chotzer or Potter Baal Shor. Hostama, if nothing was said, isn't the Braisa teaching us that Chai Baal Shor, Potter Baal Chotzer? The Bistama, because what the Braisa seems to be teaching us, when nothing is said, Lemakabalana Tarasa, the owner of the property, did not take upon himself any responsibility, which is the opinion of Rebbe. The Rebbe said in our Mishnah, Achi Kabalov Nitarasa Balabais Lishmar, that the owner of the property is not responsible until he expressly takes on the responsibility. So ask the Gemara, we have a theory here. Reish Rabbanon, the Sefer Rebbe. Amarava, Raza, I don't know what to do here. Tavra, we have to divide this price into two. Misha Shanazu, La Shanazu. And we'll have to say that the Reish represents the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the Sefer represents the opinion of Rebbe. Ravama Kula Rabbanon. Actually, this price represents the opinion of the Rabbanon. But since the Braisa started, we said Reish Shamrai, where I told the Baal Chotzer told the Baal Shor, Shamrai, it's your responsibility, Tanasaifa Vani Ashmarana. But it's not necessary to say Vani Ashmarana. Even if Ani Ashmarana was not said, it wouldn't make a difference. Why wouldn't it make a difference? Because you don't have to say it. You're responsible automatically as soon as you let it be brought into your property. That's the way Rav explains this Braisa. On the other hand, Rav Papa Makula Rebihi, the Savalik Rav Tafid Amar, Karen B'Chatzar Nizik, as we've quoted a number of times in our shir, Rav Tafid says that Karen B'Chatzar Nizik, Nizik Shalom Mishalom. Hilkach, Amalei Shamroi, if the owner of the Chatzar said to the Baal Ashar, you watch it, Le'maknin Le'makim B'Chatzar, he didn't give him permission to be in the Chatzar, and therefore, if an act of Karen were to happen here, it would be Karen B'chatzar Nizik. And according to Rav Tarfin, Karen B'chatzar Nizik, Mishalom Nizik Shalom. However, Loy Amr Le Shamroi, if he did not tell him to watch it, what he did was, but that means that I, the owner of the Chatzar, took on responsibility. And what I told you was, Aknui Maknin Le Makim B'chatzar, I'm giving you permission to be here. So that's why it's going to be a Karen, it's going to be Chatzar HaShutfin. If you have permission to be here, so you're chotzer. And the halach is the keren b'chatzar nizik shutfim, even Rav Tarfin agrees, ein mishalim el chatzin nizik.